Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, a slightly belated edition. That's once again the good folks at Blog Talk Radio who have said they don't have to give you anything for your money, including any sort of customer assistance. Anyway, now that we finally have managed to struggle ourselves onto the air, welcome everyone. We will be talking today about the shakeup. And exactly who may be going where and how it will affect the show at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, well, actually, you can't hit us up in the chat room today, I guess, folks, because our chat room is not functioning. Just one more feature of Blog Talk Radio is that occasionally, so unfortunately, right now the chat room isn't working. We will try to get that up and running before the show is over. Anyway, folks, before we get started with the superstar shakeup and where these usual, I'll tell you some hints, and I think maybe the hints will come to pass. WWE is not too infamous for handing it over before the actual event. So, I mean, we've seen certain people show up on Raw, certain people show up on SmackDown. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going anywhere. As a matter of fact, it may mean the opposite. But we'll be dissecting that in just a little bit. Right now, we will be going to the news and some very interesting tidbits here. First off, apparently, there was a situation involving Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania that we did not report. And the situation was basically this. Brock Lesnar showed up late for WrestleMania, not when the show was already on, obviously, because he was the first match, but late as opposed to when you're supposed to be there. And for some bizarre reason, known only to Brock Lesnar, apparently, he went to Vince McMahon and demanded to be the main event, the last match on. Now, he had to know that that wasn't going to be the case if he spent 2 seconds watching the product, which he probably does not do. And he was denied that, obviously. He was told, no, we have the women's three-way. That's the main event. It's been advertised as the main event, and that is indeed going to be the main event. Lesnar apparently then became irate and said, if he doesn't go on first, he's not going on. First or last, that's it. And that actually changed the order of WrestleMania, literally while the show was on. From what I'm being told, Hulk Hogan and Alexa Bliss were out there not expecting Paul Heyman to storm by them and come to the ring because they didn't know. The opening match apparently was supposed to be AJ Styles and Randy Orton. Now, if this is true, and I have no reason to think it's not true, this is just one more reason why you should never see Brock Lesnar inside a WWE ring again, ever. First off, he's not a draw. Maybe at one time he was, he's not now. Secondly, he doesn't put on a good match, almost never. Probably in all the time since his last rendition here in the WWE. Maybe I've seen one good match from Brock Lesnar out of 10, 8. So what's that? A 10% ratio of a decent match? And only then when you're in there with a guy who's really busting his ass to try to make it a decent match? Unacceptable. 2, he has no mic ability and doesn't even try. 3. He does not show in any way, shape, or form to promote any feuds or to promote his fight in any way, shape, or form. Had it not been for Paul Heyman, there would be no Brock Lesnar. So there's really no reason to keep Brock Lesnar around. And truthfully speaking, anyone, and I mean this sincerely, anyone who defends Brock Lesnar after storming into WrestleMania and demanding to take the feature match away, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Undertaker. I don't care if you're the guy who takes tickets. If you defend Brock Lesnar and you say, well, that's okay, he's still my buddy, he's still a good wrestler, he's, you know, he respects the sport. No, Brock Lesnar does not respect the sport. And by proxy, just because he may be nice to you does not mean he respects you. Because when you disrespect what you do for a living, then you disrespect everyone that's in that. So hopefully we'll see the last of Brock Lesnar, because that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous behavior. We have an injury update. Nia Jax apparently going out for ACL surgery. She could be out a long time. And I don't know what this will do with Tamina, because Tamina on her own is virtually worthless. I'm sorry to say that, but I mean, it's just true. She's virtually worthless on her own. So that's a blow. Even though I'm not a big Nia Jax fan, that's a blow, because that's a legitimate tag team, at least, to add to the rankings. And a third bit of news is that we've got an update on the Sasha Banks thing, and apparently Sasha Banks did, in fact, threatened to quit backstage at WrestleMania when she found out that the WWE Tag Team Championships, the female Tag Team Championships, were changing hands. And apparently her and Bayley acted in a very unprofessional manner about it, even after. Now there's some pictures on Instagram and things of them smiling and waving and watching WrestleMania. But from all I've heard, even at the hotel room that night, there was major incidents, and this could be why we saw Bayley virtually squashed by Alexa Bliss the next night. Bayley and Sasha had been really, really, really championing the cause for a women's tag team title. They'd both been petitioning Vince about it. They'd been very vocal about it. They really were pressing. So they were the ones who finally got, I guess, Vince and the powers that be to say, okay, we'll have the women's tag team. And by virtue of that, they decided, well, since you were the ones who championed it so much, I guess you'll be the first ones to hold it. And from all I am led to believe, I guess they thought they were going to hold it for an extended period of time. And in Sasha Banks' case, I guess she felt the Iconics were not worthy of holding it because they were being booked as basically a comedy act, and that it took away the prestige of the belts to hand it over to the Iconics, who were being booked. Not that she's saying they're a comedy or that they can't wrestle. What she's saying is they were being booked previously as basically a comedy act who got beat up a lot. And for them to hold the belts cheapens the belts. So they were very upset about it. Sasha's still upset about it. Sasha's out, and from what I'm being told, she's been given a couple of weeks to think about whether she legitimately wants to ask for her release. Now, the WWE is not going to grant her that release. I can promise you the WWE is not granting her that release. But she's already taken some, I guess, references to WWE off her Twitter. She's followed AEW. AEW would sign her in a heartbeat for no other reason than to just sign her, because it would be one of the biggest. It could arguably be the biggest name, because even Chris Jericho was a part-timer in his 40s and, you know, toward the end of his career. That's a big name, but Sasha Banks is fresh off, you know, the Women's Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. And now she would be automatically brought to the head of the women's division. We'll see where this goes. But I warned everyone, you know, it's a funny thing. If you go back a year into the archives of our show, and everyone was touting Ronda Rousey, saying this is fantastic. It's going to be a spotlight on the women's division. It's going to draw eyes to the women's division. That's exactly what it intended to be. But I warned everyone back then, if the WWE mishandles this, all of the women could take this the wrong way. And this could backfire. And I think it's backfired to a certain extent. Because Ronda Rousey came in saying, I'm not expecting anything. I want to work just as hard as all these women. I want to be just like them. I don't want anything handed to me. I don't want any special treatment. I don't expect to be put in events that I didn't earn. And from that point on, she was handed every single thing. Everything based upon her name. She was not ready to compete. It didn't matter. She knew three moves. It didn't matter. She was sketchy at best on the mic. It didn't matter. She was clumsy in the ring. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered except her name was Ronda Rousey, and they were feeding off of that publicity. And for a while, the girls were cool with it because they said, well, it really doesn't matter. Her name is so big, it's more eyes on our product, and that's what we need, more eyes on our product, women's wrestling. But then a funny thing happened, didn't it? And the women began to realize, much like I had forewarned, that this wasn't just Ronda Rousey bringing more eyes to the product. This was Ronda Rousey being the product. Exclusively. The women's division on both, arguably, became Ronda Rousey. And only Ronda Rousey. And what you got was she was fed a steady diet of girls who trained hard and fought their way to the top to just jabron out. And mind you, not give them a really good, solid, hard-fought match where you say, wow, that girl took Ronda Rousey to the limit. No. Girls were being tapped out in seconds, minutes, tops. Top names. And by proxy, what this made things look like is that the entire women's division of both Raw and SmackDown were incapable of staying in the ring even 5 minutes with a real fighter. So it really didn't bring credibility to the product. It tore the credibility of the product apart. Let's say you have let's say the Harlem Globetrotters are playing, okay? Now we know what the Harlem Globetrotters are. They're a trick basketball team. The games are rigged. It's just an excuse to show off their talent and their trick shots. Things that would never work in a real game. But people love them. Credibility is, wow, these guys are masters of the basketball court. They're amazing, right? Now you bring in a championship basketball team to wipe the floor with them, and the magic is done. People say, wait a minute, I thought they were good. These guys got clobbered. I mean clobbered. They can't hold up to a real basketball team. These guys are just fakers. Oh, sure, they have cool tricks and cool plays, but that's because the other team allows them to get away with those plays. The second a real team comes in and it's competition, God, they got dusted. That's what happened, folks. They let Ronda Rousey tear through this federation to the point where people said none of these girls matter, except maybe Charlotte Flair. And Becky Lynch wouldn't have mattered if she didn't catch fire on her own. Aside from them, no girls mattered. No girls mattered. They were all third and fourth rate compared to Ronda Rousey. And they built that entire federation around Ronda Rousey, who didn't really have anyone to fight because she was so far above all of the rest of them in the eyes of the WWE. That it wasn't fun to watch her fight. It wasn't fun to watch her tap out Ruby Riott in a minute. When we've seen Ruby Riott press Charlotte Flair and other people to the limit. Because what we got out of that was, well, they're not even a close match for Ronda Rousey. And the girls began to realize this and said, wait, we all look stupid. She's just making us all look stupid. And on top of making us all look stupid, she lied. because she said, I don't want any special treatment. And then she took all the special treatment she could possibly get. Was virtually handed the belt. Was handed main events. Was handed the microphone when other girls who had better mic skills never got the microphone. Was coddled and protected in her matches so that it wouldn't reveal that she actually wasn't training very hard and wasn't learning very much about the business of pro wrestling. That was all a myth. Ronda Rousey came in, used some of her judo skills and things in her wrestling matches. She already had those skills. But aside from one or two moves here or there, Ronda Rousey didn't progress as a professional wrestler. Go back and watch someone like Trish Stratus, who progressed at a rapid rate when she really decided, no, I want to become a pro wrestler, not just a valet. That's what happens with hard work. Ronda Rousey was not putting in that hard work. So the girls in the division see this and they say, well, this is ridiculous. I thought it's her division. Now, I'm not saying Sasha Banks is right about this because this has nothing really to do with Ronda Rousey. It has to do with the tag team belts. But Sasha Banks, I think, is fed up because I think Sasha Banks realizes the women's revolution is and always was a lie. It was a politically correct stunt pulled by the WWE to make us think we're really taking the women seriously. We are absolutely 100% female friendly. They're equal. They're even having their main events. They're having their Hell in the Cells. They're having their Royal Rumbles. They're having their Battle Royals. We're not treating them any differently, when in fact you were treating them very, very differently. Very differently. Now, you could argue, well, they did the same thing with Brock Lesnar and the guys. Well, not really, because Brock Lesnar only showed up once in a blue moon and he never fought anybody except top, top, top contenders. Ronda Rousey was on TV, three times out of four. She wasn't always wrestling, but the bottom line is she was there. She was building up her own feuds, and they were nothing. They were her tapping out everybody. And on top of that, very poor ring performances, really, for the most part. When it comes right down to brass tacks, she blew her spot at WrestleMania. Because everything that I've been told is that her shoulders were supposed to be down. Now, there was some speculation, no, no, no. She was supposed to kick out of that, or the referee was supposed to notice that, and then she was supposed to tap out. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think that was the end. It looked like the end to me. It's just that her shoulders were down, weren't down. So now you have the women's division not happy. Now, Sasha Banks, Ronda Rousey's gone for a while. I don't know. But now Sasha Banks sees this and says, well, wait a minute. We've come this far. We were the ones who advocated for the women's tag team titles. And they were stripped literally from us within moments, given to the Iconics, who truthfully are a great tag team, but weren't booked as a great tag team. They were booked as jabrons and a comedy act. And I don't feel we're being taken seriously anymore. That's her right to say that. But at the same time, we are running a serious risk here, or at least the WWE is, in that, remember the days when they used to shove down our throat that wrestling was legit? And if we didn't think that wrestling was real, we were the idiots. Oh, these guys are really fighting. They hate each other, blah, blah, blah. Then they finally said, all right, look, we're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes anymore. It's sports entertainment. And then everybody's like, okay, then it's cool. But then a weird thing happened. Then the wrestlers themselves became marks. And the wrestlers themselves started thinking, we are serious athletes and we are competitors, when in fact you are not. You may be an athlete, but you're not a competitor, because you're not competing for anything. You're handed a belt. You're told you're going to win the belt. You are a character on a television show. There is no Kevin Owens. There is no Kofi Kingston. There is no Daniel Bryan. They're all characters. They're characters on a television show. and the script is written for them. And your character is winning a belt. Your character is losing a belt. You're not losing or winning anything. You're just portraying someone. It would be the equivalent of a character on Game of Thrones saying, well, I'm not playing this part because I wouldn't sleep with my brother. Yeah, but your character would and did. Yeah, but I wouldn't, so I'm not playing it. Well, then I don't know what to tell you. You see, the problem is now wrestlers are marks and they think they're earning these things. It, to a certain extent, they're earning them with their good matches and crowd support. But they're not winning it. They're being handed it. And I think Sasha Banks has lost sight of that. I think a lot of wrestlers are losing sight of that. So it's the Iconics' turn to be champion. Fine. I can understand her being mad at the 1 year of Ronda Rousey running this whole show. I'd be mad at that too, because the women's division became a lie and it became centrally focused on Ronda and nobody cared about anybody else. But now that she's gone, this is the poorest time I can imagine for Sasha Banks to take her ball and go home. Now is the time for Sasha Banks to say, okay, I'm not a tag team person anymore. Get me in the main events. But maybe she's just had enough. Anyway, Mike, this is the situation, and it's a situation we did, in fact, warn people about for a very, very, very long time, saying that if – I don't even know if I'm going to be – here we go. I didn't think I was going to be able to take phone calls, but maybe I will be able to. Mike, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Before I get to the Sasha Banks situation – The whole thing with what's her name, Ronda Rousey, I kind of equated to what happened with Eva Marie. Eva Marie was a bad wrestler, but at least with Eva Marie, she tried to improve. She wanted to improve. She just didn't have the ability to improve. Whereas it seems like Ronda Rousey just doesn't want to. Doesn't have the gumption to, you know. And that's the problem. When you've got girls that actually want to improve and try to improve, you know, that's what you get. Now, as far as what's her name and her knee injury, Nia Jax, maybe this, yeah, the WWE may want her big, but maybe it would be for the best if she dropped some of that weight to get some of that weight off of her knees. You know, I mean,
maybe
that's probably
so.
What the doctor's going to, you know, maybe that's what the doctor, I know she's a big girl anyway, but I mean, she could probably drop, I don't know, 25, 30 pounds and still be one of the bigger girls in the division, you know?
Yeah. Listen, of course, if she wants to drop a little weight, that's going to help, obviously. We've seen that. I mean, Roman Reigns is nowhere near as big as he used to be. Nowhere near as big as he used to be. Go back and check those early tapes. You'll see. A lot of guys lost a little weight. So, yeah, if she wants to lose some weight, that's fine. My problem with Nia is she could lose the weight. I still just don't think she's going to be that great. I just don't. So we'll see what happens there. As far as the Ronda Rousey thing is concerned, it's probably poison to try to mix people who really honestly don't understand pro wrestling. And I hate to say that Ronda Rousey, who claims she grew up a pro wrestling fan, claims to idolize Rowdy Roddy Piper, claims to be in touch with all the whole wrestling business, I just don't think she understands it that well. Either that or she still has on the back of her mind, and this is a problem, I'm bad here because I intend to fight in mixed martial arts again. And if I intend to fight in mixed martial arts again, I'm not blowing my load here. Well, then you know what? Don't even come in. Unless you can commit yourself to pro wrestling, and this also holds true for Bobby Lashley, who has announced, I'd like to fight for Bellator again, and I think after SummerSlam, I'm probably going to book my fight there and, you know what, just go home. I'm tired of this. I want to be a two-sport athlete. I want to do three or four things. Do what you love, and that's it. Now, at least Bobby Lashley understands wrestling. He's not bitching and moaning and crying when he's losing. This is ridiculous. We don't need another part-timer. And Bobby Lashley's name, God bless him, doesn't mean that much. If it meant that much, he wouldn't be dropping matches to Finn Balor. Did Brock Lesnar drop a match to Finn Balor? No. So the WWE's got some trouble on their hands because they've got Nia Jax out, Ronda Rousey's out, Sasha Banks may be going out. Tamina Snuka is now basically worthless to them. You're not doing anything with Lana. You've underplayed Naomi to the point where I don't know if you can get her back to any sort of top level. I don't know what you're going to do with the Riot Squad. Ruby Riott's been missing in action and has been made to look weak and ineffective. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville are on and off, on and off, on and off, so we have no idea what's going on with them, and Asuka's been made to look ineffectual. So you don't really have a great women's division, do you? And you're staring down the barrel of Lacey Evans being the champion. And I know that may come as a shock to some people. But right now, Becky Lynch has two belts. And the superstar shakeup is coming. She's not going to have the two belts. They're not going to unify those belts. And I'll tell you why I don't think they're going to unify those belts is because of the new deal they have coming up with Fox Sports. You're going to want the champions on different shows, and I do believe that it would run the girls ragged to be on both. The tag team is one thing. The actual champion is another. I don't see it. So you know what I do see? I see Lacey Evans winning one of those belts. That's exactly what I see. And then we would have, of course, Becky Lynch in one brand or the other. My thought is that it would probably be Raw. Becky Lynch would probably go to Raw. She's been there anyway. Her big fight was with Ronda there. That would free Charlotte up, I guess, a little bit. And there you would have it. So as we get into this superstar shakeup, the very first person we will talk about, I guess, is the champion, the women's champion, Becky Lynch. I don't see her, Mike, going into this shakeup and not having a brand. So that means she's going to drop one really, really, really soon. Next pay-per-view, probably. In the meantime, I don't know if they'll pick her. I don't know what they'll do. She may be exempt based upon the fact that she holds both belts. That won't be for long, in my opinion. And I don't see them actually saying to Lacey Evans, well, you got to lose your very first feud, because then there goes another potential top worker when you're already on the cusp of losing three or four for a while. So it doesn't sound logical to me that you would have a girl like that come into the Federation, literally do nothing, but walk up and down and then lose her first match and then do what?
I really don't know. You know, and that's the thing. You know, maybe she comes in there and wins the SmackDown title and takes it back to SmackDown. I don't know. You know,
yep.
I mean, like you said earlier, what you got one ex-champion that literally might very well be in the doghouse, and you got another ex-champion on SmackDown that's basically a comedy act right now. You know? At some point, I've said it about Carmella, and probably with the Usos signing a new deal, I'm going to say it with Naomi as well, it's probably time to cycle one or both of those two girls up again. And to do that, maybe you take Carmella and send her to Raw.
Well, there's one thing is for sure, is if you do lose you've already lost Nia Jax. We know that. And regardless of how we feel about her, you've used her as one of the top people for a while. Tamina's not going to be able to cut it on her own. It looks like Sasha could potentially be out. And Ronda's gone for a while. And you've downplayed Asuka to the point where I don't know if she's going to be any big deal going forward. You're going to have to bring some people to the top again. And if Lacey Evans is one of them, Todd, then I don't see any reason for her to go into a feud with Becky Lynch. Very first feud, by the way. And drop her first match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. If Lacey Evans, she's in the feud with Becky Lynch, and if she loses her first match with Becky, when getting a title shot just like that, like, come on now. You're supposed to build somebody up, and with the Naomi and the Usos thing, like you said, I think they should recycle Naomi to bring her back up where she was, too, and so is Carmella.
Thing is, it's going to be hard, because the problem with the WWE is when they did cycle people down, they didn't used to do it in a way where they dropped match after match after match after match. They just cycled them down to they dropped a few matches, and then you didn't see much of them. Once in a blue moon, you'd see them, but they weren't featured on television every week. When you have someone featured on television virtually every week, just dropping, 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 and then next week you say, I guess we're going to need her on top again, win, 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 fans get tired of that, and they don't buy into it. It's going to be hard to rehab Naomi. And this is why the superstar shakeup is so crucial, because it's much easier to rehab them if they go somewhere else. So, in my opinion, Becky Lynch will probably end up eventually on Raw, but I don't know if she's going to be picked on a Monday night or a Tuesday night because she's got both belts. So let's go to some of the people I do think for sure are going to be switching brands. First ones are the Usos, and I don't think you could make it much more obvious. They've dropped the tag team belts to the Hardy Boys. They have fought the New Day 100 times. And believe me, I'd be front row to watch them fight them 101 times because it's always been great matches. I have no problem with the quality of their matches, but the truth is still, it's matches we've seen a million times. They've also fought the Bar a million times. And outside of that, what tag teams are there? So now it's possible to go over to Raw and sort of reinvent the Usos a bit, shake up that tag team division a little bit, and maybe you'll end up helping to rehab them. And if you do that, I would guess maybe Naomi goes with them. I don't know. I don't know how they'll work that. But I think the Usos, I think that WWE did tip their hand. At the beginning of the show, I said WWE didn't like to tip their hand too much. But this time, I think it was an accidental tipping. I think the WWE felt, well, the fans will just think they're going to fight the Hardys in rematches and stuff. And in reality, we're just getting the belts off them to ship them somewhere else. But the second the Usos lost that belt, the first thing I thought of was they're leaving. Because there's really no reason to take it off the Usos. So what do you think, Mike? I mean, with the Usos being arguably one of the best tag teams ever in the WWE, their act has grown a little bit stale as far as who they fight on SmackDown. So maybe bringing them over to Raw at least would freshen that up a little bit and make it not quite as stale, you know, to watch them feud with other teams we haven't seen them fight.
Right, you're right, and that's the thing. Now, the WWE does have a habit of breaking up couples. You know,
yeah.
We saw that with Carmella and Big Cass and people like that. I'm surprised they haven't tried to do that with Lana and Rusev, but again, that's another problem altogether. But like you said, I don't. If the Usos go, I would assume that Naomi's going to go too. which would leave a spot open for somebody. I mean, look, I've said it before with Carmella, that when they had her win that when they had her and what's his name win the mixed match challenge, and they were going into the respective battle royales at 30. Now they didn't win, but I thought, well, this could be the start of them kind of trying to cycle Carmella up, and then Carmella comes back and wins this other battle royal. Well, could that be them trying to maybe cycle her up a little bit, make her more of a candidate, which she probably should be? But yeah, the Usos are going, and probably along with them, probably Naomi's going as well. So yeah,
that's what I would think. You know, people are asking me, well, how about the Revival? They lost the belts. I don't know. Because I don't know whether the Revival lost the belt because they still haven't signed and they're not intending to, which is possible. They've lost the belts because they're going to switch. But in reality, I'd rather not see them switch, because the idea of maybe seeing the Revival against the Usos sounds really good to me. There are matches. If the right superstars switch, there are matches that are intriguing matches that will feel fresh to fans. The one thing that the brand split does do, once it's had a year to ferment, is it sets up dream matches that you don't really think you wanted to see until you realize, oh, wait a minute, that would be good. Now, the brand split has a lot of negatives. Don't get me wrong, but this is the one positive. We've never considered, or at least I never considered, to see the Usos in the Revival. But now that the brand split is here, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that would actually be really good. That'd be very good. And then if they can get maybe the Authors of Pain back sometime this century, Usos and the Authors of Pain, that would be good. The Usos could be the forefront of that division, and if they decide where they want to put Aleister Black and Ricochet, that would be good too. So really what the Superstar Shakeup does allow you to do is to reset the pieces of your puzzle and say, okay, who is going to be our staples in our tag team division, our Raw tag team division, our SmackDown tag team division? Our SmackDown tag team division is going to have, I don't know, The Bar, Aleister Black and Ricochet, The New Day, maybe one other. Four top tag teams is pretty good. Then over on Raw, we're going to send the Usos over, and we're going to have maybe Heavy Machinery, and we're going to have Rude and Gable, and maybe the Authors of Pain. That's okay, that's four. It allows you to set your divisions a little differently and present the fans with some new matches. Now, having said that, while we don't have any real advanced knowledge of who's switching brands, we are going to speculate a little bit on the ones we'd like to see and why we'd like to see them. And the next guy I'm going to mention is a guy who has been really misused to the point where it may benefit him greatly to switch brands. And that guy is Drew McIntyre. When Drew McIntyre first came to Raw, I promised you all, I said, oh man, he's going to be the top heel. He's got everything he needs. He's got the look. He's got the good work ethic. He's very good on the mic, and I mean very good as a heel. He does what he's told. He knows how to rile the crowd. He knows how to sell a fight. He's the whole package. And for some inexplicable reason, they were running with him, and then suddenly he became part of a Braun Strowman's team, which I have no idea what that was all about. And then he became part of Baron Corbin's team, which I have no idea what that's all about. And then he had a worthless feud with Dolph Ziggler, which I have no idea what that was all about. And by the time this ended, Drew McIntyre was looking like Raw's Samoa Joe, in the sense that he was always getting beat and looking like, how did that happen? That was just an accident. But it happened so many times that you're like, yeah, he's very beatable. He's a very beatable guy. He's always talking a good game, but he's not winning much. The last couple of weeks, they've allowed him to win a lot. But unfortunately, he's gotten stuck in this situation where he lost to Roman Reigns, which he pretty much had to do at WrestleMania. And we already know he's not going to beat Seth Rollins. And a Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre feud doesn't sound fun. I think you could reset him very well on SmackDown. And the anticipation of Drew McIntyre, Kofi Kingston, sounds really good to me. Because I understand how Drew McIntyre will approach that. And it's going to make Kofi look like a ridiculous underdog. And there's a lot you can do with it. And I think fans would buy into it. At the same time, he could go back onto a winning streak on SmackDown, whereas on Raw, you know, it's the same old Drew McIntyre. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. He always says he's unbeatable, but he's not. Opportunity to reset Drew McIntyre, because you really honestly do need to reset him. If there's anyone on this roster, both rosters, and I mean anyone, who could be your top heel this entire year, rest of the year, that's Drew McIntyre. And I don't think he's going to be that on Raw, Todd, so I assume that it would help him tremendously if he could go to SmackDown, where at least they can somewhat hit the reset button on him and make him a little more interesting than he's been on Raw.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when he was on Raw, he was terrible. They would put him in guys he's not supposed to be in with, in stables with Braun Strowman and Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley. I think he should be on his own as a heel, as a monster heel, and I think it would help him recreative him to get back where he was.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're having all sorts of issues here, folks. The show is sounding a little stuttered. You have no idea the issues we're having over here. We cannot see the screen. We cannot see the callers. We cannot see the chat room. We cannot click on a phone call. I mean, this is literally getting to the point where it's almost ridiculous, and it's almost impossible to this show today. So we're going to do this weekend. Simple as that. So, yeah, Drew McIntyre would be one of those guys I think it would benefit greatly. Not one of the only guys, because I think there's several, really, that would benefit greatly. But I think Drew McIntyre would be the one that would also benefit the WWE most, in the sense that the WWE really does it. I mean, really does need a heel. Because if you look around the WWE right now, who's your top heels? Who's the guys that everybody's coming to see get beat? Or who's the guys that they're afraid are going to beat their heroes? Well, I don't know. Over on Raw, who do we have? You know, we have Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin gets some heat. Don't get me wrong. But Baron Corbin's heat is not based upon him being a winner or him being so feared. It's based on people just disliking him. And that's not good enough. So, yeah, and that's not going to work. Bobby Lashley? Not really. He's already been beaten by Finn Balor. He's looking to possibly leave summer. And anyway, if it weren't for Rush, it would be a deal. So when you put all of that together, who do we have? Okay, well, Daniel Bryan's... he's in. So what's his right now is a heel. You know, it's marginal. It's marginal. You can't flip him at this point. You can't flip him face. It's too quick to do that. really. I mean, there is no real top heel. There is no one guy. We've lost Brock Lesnar, who arguably some people would say was the top heel. So right now, we're not a very strong heel federation, are we? And you need that. Tied it with Braun Strowman. That didn't work at all. I should try it with Lars Sullivan. And maybe to some extent that'll work. That remains to be seen. Because at this point, can you even trust Lars Sullivan? Can you even trust him? I mean, what happens if he has another relapse of his anxiety and or whatever? So for the foreseeable future, I don't see you trusting Lars Sullivan as being some heel to push and promote to the point where your whole federation's built around that. It's a shame. I think he put to be or not. See how they would benefit from a change. And the risk is that if you change two people, it's still the same old matches. You know what I mean? If you put half a Raw on SmackDown, SmackDown on Raw, it's still the same match. So you can't change many. There shouldn't be one. But you might want to think about Braun Strowman, too, and I'll tell you why. Braun Strowman, again, is a guy who's just been handled to death. You had everything you needed out of Braun Strowman. Everything. You big, strong, monstrous-looking guy who really looked the part, and okay, he wasn't the world's greatest wrestler, but man, he did his spots well. And you really had something going there. And then guess who you used to throw it all away? Brock Lesnar. Because when he fought Brock Lesnar, his couple of times that he did and could not win, fans lost that feel for Braun Strowman, saying, oh, God, he's not going to beat Brock Lesnar. He's not the guy who's going to beat Brock Lesnar. If he can't beat Brock Lesnar, then I don't know. And truthfully, teaming up with a 10-year-old kid to win the tag team belts, fighting Saturday Night Live chuckleheads, none of that was any damn good. And it hurt him. It hurt him tremendously. And at this stage of the game, Todd, I don't know if you can rehab a guy like Braun Strowman and keep him where he is.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, once that person is not like vulnerable, you can't rehab them. I remember back years ago when Kane came up, Glenn Jacobs came back as Kane. He was indestructible. He was different than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a good point. It doesn't have to be. Look, he has to be. Has to be yeah, this point, I don't know what you're going to do with a guy like Strowman. Where does Strowman go from here? Who does Braun Strowman feud with on Raw that people are going to say, wow, it'd be a really good match? Who? Seth Rollins, I guess? That's it? Roman Reigns again? We've seen that a million times. So I don't really see anything great going on for him. So, again, if you move him, harm. So I'm going to go with him as being another one. I would love to take more phone calls, but I'm not because I cannot see the screen, so there's absolutely no way for me to click on a phone call. I can't even mute you, Todd. I mean, you're on, I guess, for the rest of the show because I can't even shut one down and the other off. It's things are going crazy here, folks. I think we're just going to end this because there's absolutely no way you can do a show under these circumstances. And we're going to have to really consider very, very strongly switching our format in the near future because there's nothing about service. I'd love to tell you we're having a good time, but we really aren't, and we haven't for a very, very, very long time. And it's just getting worse by the day. So with that in mind, folks, I'm going to tell you this. The people I think are most likely to go into the Superstar Shakeup are the following. The Usos, Naomi. I think Drew McIntyre will probably go to SmackDown. I have a feeling that if Asuka stays, she may be transferred to Raw, where they can probably rehab her a little bit. I think maybe Braun Strowman will go. And I think the big name, if we're going to go into the really big names that's going to switch, you may see Daniel Bryan hit Raw, and you may see AJ Styles also. Now, on top of that, we're going to need, because that's two guys you're taking. You're taking Drew McIntyre, you're taking Braun Strowman. You're going to need two big names on Raw. Those would be two big names. Daniel Bryan, obviously, and AJ Styles. AJ Styles has done everything he can possibly do. Possibly do. On SmackDown. So what more has he got left to accomplish? Could we possibly see a match with him and Kofi Kingston? Yeah, but I just don't think that's what the WWE has in mind. And his feud with Randy Orton, where was that going? He already beat Randy Orton. There's nothing left, really, for AJ Styles to prove in SmackDown. I know it's the house that AJ Styles built, but maybe it's time for him to go to Raw and have a fresh series of matches. Because I can tell you this, if you give me the choice between AJ Styles versus Kofi Kingston and Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins, or Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston and AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, guess which one I'm taking? I'm taking the latter. I would love to see AJ Styles and Seth Rollins have an epic match, and I would love the build-up. I know I'd love the build-up to a Drew McIntyre match with Kofi Kingston. So with that in mind, I think those guys would benefit the most. Aside from that, we may see some minor ones. You always see a few minor ones. Sami Zayn will find his way somewhere. I don't know whether it's going to be for Raw or SmackDown, because people were saying, oh, maybe we're going to see a KO fight, you know, a match with Sami Zayn. Well, if you were in attendance at SmackDown, you already saw it. The SmackDown Dark match was Sami Zayn coming out and basically saying, I don't have to fight Kevin Owens. He is one of my closest friends. I respect Kevin Owens, but the crowd doesn't deserve it. And blah, 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 blah. The crowd doesn't need us to put on another classic. You guys don't deserve it. It would be a 5-star match, but I'm sure you'd be writing in the blogs the next day how we messed this up or didn't do this right or it wasn't as good as that. So you don't deserve to see this match. So I'm just going to hug my friend and we're just going to get out of here. Kevin Owens hugged him, went to leave, and then Sami Zayn, which was a dumb spot. Sami Zayn says, and by the way, you know, look, when we were together and had the talk show, it really meant something. Then Kevin kind of tried to do it and he couldn't pull it off. And he wasn't really, you know, when we were a team, it was one thing, but Kevin's never really been the leader. And of course, then Kevin Owens turns back around and Sami Zayn says, oh, you're still here. And Kevin Owens, trying to save the spot, says, well, of course I'm still here, but even if I was halfway up the aisle, I can hear you got a microphone in your hand. And he says, well, look, I was just ranting, you know, whatever. And he says, look, forget all that nonsense. I don't care. I got three words to say to you, and that's it. Ring the bell. The guy rings the bell. He gives him a stunner, 1, 2, 3. That's it. Match over. 10 seconds. I don't think we're going to see any long Kevin Owens feud. I really don't. I think maybe one of the two guys will wind up. I don't think Kevin Owens is going anywhere. I think maybe Kevin Owens is going to stay on SmackDown. I think it might be Sami Zayn that switches. Keeping them together could be good if you wanted to team them or you wanted to, you know, feud them to an extent. But I don't see the feud. I don't see really catching people's eye. It's done too many times. It's been done to death. Teaming them would have, but you would have had to bring Sami Zayn back as a face to help Kevin Owens. And you didn't do that. You brought him back as a heel and a very anti-fan heel. So that's going to hurt Kevin Owens if he keeps buddying around with him. So I don't see that happening. So I'll say Sami Zayn and probably some other minor people. And that'll probably be it. I mean, we may get a minor switch here and there. Maybe we'll certainly find out where Aleister Black is going and Ricochet. And I pray, I know it's not going to happen, but if I had one wish, it would be that one ends up on Raw and one end up on SmackDown. This team, while it's a good team, all I see are two individual superstars teamed up forcibly to make a good team. And that's not what I want to see out of a tag team. I want to see those guys individually. I want to see those guys do what they do solo, not as a tag team, because I know where these tag team divisions are going. And within no time at all, just like Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, we're going to end up with Aleister Black and Ricochet dropping matches on Raw or SmackDown to teams that people are going to say, why do they drop matches? And that's just the way it's going to be. It's a shame, but that's the way it's going to be. If they at least go solo, one or both of them have a shot at least the minor belts. I don't think you're ever going to see Aleister Black be a world champion. You're never going to see Ricochet be the world champion. I doubt it. But Intercontinental champion, U.S. champion, yeah, maybe. They very well may. Not impossible. Absolutely not impossible. So we'll see where it all goes. Aside from that, I think it's going to be the way Raw usually runs these things is that they have matches in between, and then I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know whether they're going to have people at the podium like they did in the past saying they don't really have general manager. I guess they do to a certain extent. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're just going to show it on the Titantron probably and say Raw's getting this guy. I don't know if they're going to do one Raw and one SmackDown on Raw and then let SmackDown do the same thing, or whether they're going to do all the Raw picks first and then SmackDown gets to do all their picks. I don't know how they're going to do it. And I'd love to be able to continue to discuss it because that's what we do here. But unfortunately, Blog Talk has not allowed us to do it. So we will try to we'll try to do a makeup show if we can at some point during the week and get this done. But, I mean, it's just been a disaster today, folks. So we're going to have to apologize for cutting this short. That's what happens when you deal with these type of companies. Thanks for listening.